This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Michigan Congressman Peter Hoekstra, who represents his state's 2nd Congressional District. He's also the top House Republican on the Intelligence Committee. He's also very much focused on Michigan politics this year as he's a candidate for the Republican nomination for governor. We want to get his thoughts today on the apparent capture of the top Taliban commander, as well as get the congressman's thoughts on some other key issues related to U.S. intelligence. And Congressman, it's always great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, the character that we've got in custody here is considered to be the number two Taliban overall figure, right behind Mullah Omar. His name is Abdul Ghani Baradar. Just how significant of a capture is this, and what kind of intelligence do you hope we can get from him?
Well, I think this is really it is a significant capture. I mean, we've taken one of the people out of the hierarchy, out of the Taliban. I think getting actionable intelligence will be difficult, but I hope we can get it. You know, this guy should have the kind of information that would tell you what the intermediate and what the long-term capabilities and objectives of the Taliban are. What kind of capabilities do they have? What do they want to do? What type of people are they involved with? Who's providing them with material support? What do they worry about? Where are they located? Those are the kinds of things that we could get, but I think getting it out of him will be very, very difficult.
Congressman, I guess it varies from detainee to detainee, but it seems as though from whether it's Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to Abu Zubaydah and some others, that given enough interrogation, they generally do reveal something, because we know that we've unfolded plots against the Library Tower in Los Angeles, among other potential plots. So how forthcoming have some of these Taliban people been?
Well, I think in this case, remember now, the president has put very, very tight restrictions on what types of interrogation methods can and cannot be used. And so some of the success that we might have been able to use in the past, you know, we may not be able to use those same techniques and those same procedures, against this guy. So that will be one of the tests of the new Obama administration. You know, the question is this high value interrogation group, are they on the ground in Pakistan already? This is who the president wanted to have. This is who the president wanted to use to interrogate high-level detainees. And so this really now does become a test of the president's strategy.
The Taliban, of course, now basically synonymous with radical Islam. And I know you have been looking into the radical Islam that was behind the horrific shootings at Fort Hood, Texas, back in November, carried out by Major Nidal Malik Hassan. You've been very concerned about how the government is going about this investigation. Have they been any more forthcoming about the real reasons behind this and how they've gone about coming to a conclusion on what happened there?
They really have not been all that forthcoming. We've gotten a little bit more information, but we still haven't gotten a lot of information. And, you know, we're almost, 3 months past when this event took place. And, you know, it's really kind of disappointing that the information is so hard to get. It's slow in getting to us because this is the kind of stuff that you would want to factor in as you're developing new strategies to go against these folks and these individuals. They're just not doing it.
What specific questions have you asked for answers to and not gotten to this point?
Well, I think we really want to know is, you know, where'd the money go? This is a guy that apparently lived very, very frugally. Did he somehow launder this money over to the Taliban? Did he get it over to Al-Qaeda? Where did he send it? What did he do with his money? Those are the kinds of questions right now that we don't have answers to. Exactly, did he have contact with other individuals about, you know, in the United States who might have had ties to him, or to Al-Qaeda or to the Taliban? Those are the basic evidentiary questions, conspiracy questions, that you would like to have, and, we don't have answers to that.
Real quick follow up on this before we get to a couple other topics, Congressman. What do you believe is the reason that there hasn't been the transparency that you would have hoped for on this investigation?
It's actually very surprising to me. This is, you know, there hasn't been a lot of transparency here. There hasn't been a lot of transparency on what happened at Detroit on Christmas Day. My guess is that there may be certain things this administration just feels very uncomfortable with in talking about. It may, from my standpoint, you know, if you're not open and transparent, you know, you get to the old adage, they must be trying to hide something. You know, maybe they're not that all that confident with the programs they've had in place. Clearly, this national security team is not working off the same playbook. You know, when you take a look at Brennan, the president's national security advisor on terrorism, when you take a look at some of these other things, they're clearly not working together. That does become very clear as you talk to them. So, you know, it's one of the reasons that maybe they're not coming up to Congress, because that glaring inconsistency and that inability for them to work together will become strikingly clear.
Congressman, you mentioned Detroit. The man suspected to be behind that bombing is now talking again. And apparently one of the things investigators have learned is that there's a great push now by the terrorists to have English-speaking terrorists carrying out some of these plots. How great of a departure is that from what they were doing before?
It's not that great of a departure. We've known that for a long time. Al-Qaeda has been looking for American-speaking individuals that would blend in into our communities and these types of things. And so they've just, you know, so I don't see that as a startling revelation. Obviously, they're trying to make as many claims as they can as to the information that they're supposedly getting from this individual, because of how badly they messed up on Christmas Day by reading this guy his Miranda rights. That was a very big mistake. I think everybody, perhaps except a few people in the administration, recognize that as a huge mistake. We're maybe getting some information, but it's not that valuable. It's old information. It's dated information. It would have been a lot more valuable if we'd gotten it, you know, in the immediate aftermath of the of his arrest on Christmas Day.
Last 60 seconds with Michigan Congressman Peter Hoekstra, who I mentioned before, is not only the top House Republican on the Intelligence Committee, he's also a candidate for governor in his state. And Congressman, I know the man that was believed to be the likely Democratic nominee has dropped out, and obviously a lot of folks are watching the competitive Republican primary here. What are you hearing from your constituents, and what message are you sending to them as you get closer and closer to the primary in August?
The message that we're clearly sending to them is we're going to be focused like a laser on restoring Michigan's economy. It's been a very, very, you know, people in Michigan are hurting. Families are hurting. Businesses are hurting. And a lot of it is because we've just had a very, very miserable economic climate driven by political decisions that have been made, that have just been made it tough to do business in Michigan. So we're going to focus like a laser, turning that economy around, building off of the strengths in Michigan, and getting the state moving again. Michigan's a great state. It doesn't have to be like this. It's very much worth saving, and Michigan's future is going to begin with the future of the people of Michigan, not with the politicians in Lansing or Washington. We just got to create an area of economic opportunity, and we will be just fine.
Well, Congressman, we look forward to seeing all the developments in the campaign, and we look forward to our next conversation with you. Thanks for your time today.
Hey, great. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Michigan Congressman Peter Hoekstra, top House Republican on the Select Intelligence Committee, and he is a candidate for the Republican Party's nomination for governor in Michigan, primary coming up in August. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.